Lord, we thank you and we praise you. On the day of your resurrection, you gather us together. Lord, we commit this meeting into your hand. We pray that your victorious blood will cleanse us and cover us. Together we bind your enemy, bind all his distractions. We just turn our heart to you so that all the veils will be taken away. Then we can all have fellowship with you face to face. Be merciful to all of us. Lord, we commit everything into your hand. We want you to give us your rich presence. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. You know, this week we'll cover 1 Timothy chapter 4. So this chapter 4, maybe we can read these, the first few verses. So that is from verse 1 to verse 7. Let's read it again. But the Spirit says expressly that in later times some will from these and teaching of demons by means of the free of men who speak lies of men who are in their own
by those who believe and have full knowledge of the truth. For everything so God
is good, and nothing is to be rejected
if thanksgiving. For it is sanctified through the word of God and intercession. If you lay his hands on the brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus. He nourishes the words of the faith and of the good teaching which you have closely followed.
For the
and
exercise yourself unto godliness. Okay. So here you see that Paul gave Timothy a very strong fellowship, and he said that, but the Spirit says expressly that in later times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceive spirits and the teachings of demons. Then, so what are these kind of teachings? And mainly is they forbid marriage, and also they also concerning food, they forbid people to eat the meat. Now, why Paul spoke such a strong word? It's because when this kind of teaching, in other words, you should not eat meat, you can only eat the vegetable, and also it forbid people to get married. Now, this is if people follow this kind of teaching, so what is the result? The result is that the man will use his soul power to control his soul. We know man has three parts, right? The outward, the outermost part is our physical body. But inside the physical body, we have psychological part. That is our soul. And the soul life is our human life. And then in the deepmost part of our being is the spirit. Now, I believe most of you all know this. Man has three parts: spirit, soul, and the body. And once this kind of teaching is spread in the church, among the Christians, then people will try to use his or her soul power and to control his feelings. And in other words, this kind of teaching help people to develop their soul life, not develop their spirit life. So that's why Paul mentioned such these things in such a strong way. But then, if you turn to the book of Romans, I think in this week we probably did not cover the book of Romans, right? But anyway, here in the book of Romans, you have some very important verses. Mm-hmm. In the book of Romans, chapter 14. In chapter 14, it says what? In from verse 2 to verse 6. Mm-hmm. Let's read it again. He said, and then he who resists the authority. Chapter 14 is from verse 2 to verse 6. Chapter 14, verse 2. One believes that he may eat all things. But he who is weak eats vegetables, and he who eats, let him not despise him who does not eat. And he who does not eat, let them not judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge and to his own? And that he will be made to sin, for the law is able to make him sin. One judge one day, another judge every day, let each fully judge his own. He who regards that day regard it to the Lord, and he who eats, eat to the Lord, for the gift is to God. And he who does not eat to the Lord. And he gives thanks to God. And, yeah. So, 6. Then we also go to chapter 15. We read from verse 5 to verse 7. Let me see, in the 14, and we also need to read verse 13 to 17. Okay. Therefore, let us judge one another no longer, but rather judge this, not to put a stumbling block causing your brother. I know that I am persuading in the Lord Jesus that there is nothing himself, except to him who considers something to be unclean. To that man it is unclean. For if you not longer do not destroy food, and man who owned the price died. Therefore, do not let your good be surrendered. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Okay, now we come to chapter 15. Let's read a verse from verse 5 to verse 7. Okay, now the God of rangers and encouragement grant you to be same mind toward one another, Lord Christ Jesus, that we are one Lord, you made one God, and Father of one Christ. Therefore, receive one another, as Christ also received you, glory of God. Okay, I don't know whether these two portions will trouble you. On one hand, in 1 Timothy chapter 4. That is the verses you just had this week. Paul's word to Timothy was very, very strong, right? That it talks about to forbid marriage and to forbid eating the meat, and these are terrible things. Right. And not only terrible things, these things belong to the demons.
Right.
And so it's very strong.
Right.
But in the book of Romans, in chapter 14 and 15, you see that the Paul, you don't see Paul had that kind of very strong speaking. And rather to him, either you eat the meat or you eat a vegetable, doesn't matter. You eat for the law, you don't eat for the law. Not only concerning the food, and also he also mentioned about the days.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, someone think that we cannot observe Sabbath. That this was the Old Testament thing. But some said we need to practice this, that every, still we had to go back to the Old Testament, and so we would rest on the Sabbath. So someone said, no, you, today in the New Testament time, you should not practice, stay in home at the Sabbath day. Now, Sabbath day actually is what? It's yesterday. It's Saturday. Don't consider today is Sabbath day. No. The Chinese translation was wrong. The Chinese translation is tomorrow, Monday. They consider as the first day of the week. And so then today, the Lord's Day, they consider it as Sabbath day. So that is because in China, in the start from the thousands year ago, in China only 2 days. One is the year, and another is the month. And so they don't have 7 days a week. Then the later people from the Europe, from the West, brought this matter week into China. And whoever, I don't know who was the one translate the time. And so they consider tomorrow is week day one. Then Tuesday's number two. And so this is completely wrong translation. But anyway, someone said, today, the first day of the week is the Lord's Day. And then yesterday is the Sabbath day. And but some those who want to observe today has the Bible, really have the Bible foundation. The Bible did say this, that because today is the first day of the week. Today is also the Lord's resurrection. The Lord resurrected on the first day of the week. And so it is completely different from the Old Testament practice. In the Old Testament, people work very hard 6 days. Then the seventh day, they observe a day, they practice to rest on the Sabbath day. In the Old Testament, yes, we read the Genesis, we know the Lord worked 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested. So Old Testament people also practice this. But then, don't confuse the Lord or God rested on the seventh day. It's not that God worked 6 days and so he was so tired, so he rest the seventh day. No. The Lord will never, God will never be tired. And the reason he rested it is because he get what he wants. He had created a man according to his own image. Right. And therefore, when he had this man was created, he was satisfied. Amen. That's why he rested on the seventh day. But in the Old Testament time, the people work 6 days very very diligently, but on the seventh day, they are all tired out. Therefore, they need to the seventh day to rest. And so this the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. But New Testament, why we want to observe the first day of the week? Because in the first day of the week, this is the day of the Lord's resurrection. And we come here together according to the Lord's commandment, or the Lord's saying that before he was betrayed, before he was crucified. And so he wants us to remember him. You want us to remember him. It's not like a Christmas just once a year. The Lord wants us to remember him every week. Amen. And so this Lord's table meeting is extremely important. This meeting, the Lord's table meeting, is established by the Lord himself. In other words, in the New Testament, we enjoy the Lord first. After we enjoy the Lord and that we will receive the supply from the Lord, hopefully after this morning's Lord's table meeting, after we sing all those wonderful hymns and we pray, and when you are touching the Lord, then based on this supply, we can do our work in the coming days. So this is new. We do have this principle, New Testament principle, in the New Testament books. So in other words, on one hand, yes, we do have the foundation, we do have the verses mentioned in the New Testament. So then Paul's word was, someone think every day is the same. Another one said, no, only the Lord's day we have to come. So, but Paul's attitudes don't argue about these things. Yes, on one hand, we know in the Bible has many, many truths. On one hand, all the truths are important. But on the other hand, not all the truths equally important. There are important truths and there are secondary truths. So how do you make that difference? Now, what kind of truth is the important truth? What the kind of truth is the secondary truth? Now, the truth that is related to our salvation, or this truth is important truth. And but then those secondary truths don't argue, don't fight over the secondary truths. Now, why Paul was so strong to those who forbid people to get married and forbid people to eat certain things? Like what I said earlier, it's because this will help people to strengthen their soul power. But on the other hand, these ones did not say you have to eat vegetable only. If you don't do this, you will not be saved. Then that will become a serious heresy. So, but these ones, they wanted to eat vegetable only. The other ones, they know they can eat everything, so they everything, but these are secondary because has nothing to do with our salvation. Now today, if we say that if we eat meat, we will not be saved, then this is heresy. And so we cannot say this. And if we feel that according to the Bible, we can eat everything, so then either you eat or you don't eat, these are secondary, because this has nothing to do with our salvation. So I hope that this we're clear about this matter. And so we hope that everybody very clear in the first Timothy the chapter 4, you have these words there, and why it seemingly this portion and Romans chapter 14 and 15 are different. It is not the truth are different, it's because the whether the truth is the important truth or the truth is secondary truth. So I hope that we are clear about this. So I hope that you will not have any question about this. The Word of God is the Word of God.
Amen.
Okay. So then we also this morning we also read 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Here, let's read verse 1 and verse 3. Pursue love
and desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. But he who prophesies speaks building up and encouragement
and consolation to men. Okay, here Paul said in chapter 14 that we need to have, of course, we pursue love and desire earnestly spiritual gifts. Now, what kind of spiritual gifts? Not like eating, not like chase out of demons or this kind of gifts. But here it says, but especially that you may prophesy. Now here, Paul emphasized this matter of prophesying. Then in verse 3 said, but he who prophesies speaks building up and encouragement and consolation to men. So in other words, here you can see, here the important thing is we all need to ask the Lord give us the gifts of prophesying, because the prophesying will build up the church. How can we build up the church? We all need to prophesy. But my burden is this morning, I have a very heavy burden on this. And I'm afraid, even up to today, we all know we should prophesy. We know we need to speak in the meeting. But then, still, I think still a number of brothers and sisters and did not realize what is, or did not really know what is the prophecy. What is to prophesy? I'm still afraid a number of saints, they think they just stand up in the meeting and say something in the meeting, then they are prophesying. But actually, it's not this. Don't think because you stand up, you say something in the meeting, oh, today I prophesy. No. Very often, your speaking is not prophesy. Has nothing to do with prophesy. In the past, we did say this. I want to repeat it again. What is the real prophesying? The prophesying is, first, we speak for the Lord, not for ourselves. We speak for the Lord. Then second, we speak for the Lord. In other words, we talk about the Lord, and we don't talk about other things. And the third thing is, we exercise our spirit to speak the Lord into each other.
Right.
So then they can receive Christ, the living Christ, and the will receive the tree of life. And so this is the real prophesying. And then also in verse 3, in Corinthians chapter 14, it says what? You have speaking build up and encouragement and consolation to men. The content of our prophesying, yes, we need to, it's not for ourselves. No, sometimes we old folks, and maybe during the week, did not have people to talk to. And so on the Lord's Day, oh, now's the time. Especially now we have the language group. Then we can speak, we can grab the opportunity and to speak and speak and speak. And you think, oh, I have prophesied. No. What you talk, do you really encourage people? Do you really comfort people? Do you really counselate people? Or you just say a lot of your opinions? No, this is a very serious matter. We know in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and 3, mentioned seven local churches. And God used those seven local churches to prophesy to us that what kind of church history we will have. And mostly in the past 2,000 years, pretty much has revealed to us the Christianity history. And so, but what we are very concerned, very burdened is, we want to be the church in Philadelphia. So that means we want our church, the church in New York, is the church of brotherly love. And don't think because that we try to live a church life of the brotherly love, we need to strongly be careful we will not fall from being the Philadelphia. So don't think once we are in the brotherly love church and then we'll be overcomers forever. No. Even in the book of Revelation, when the Lord spoke to the church in Philadelphia, he still warned the saints there, be careful, don't fall. Even when you are in the church in the brotherly love, we still can fall from that kind of condition. And very often, this brotherly love can fall into Laodicea. And what is Laodicea? The meaning of Laodicea is the all people's opinion. When you speak in the meeting, do you minister life to people? Or do you just speak your own opinion? If the church becomes everybody here just express your own opinion, then we become Laodicea. It's a very serious matter. And therefore, we really want to make all these things very clear. And so, again, I want to repeat this. Don't think you just stand up, say something in the meeting, you are prophesying. Many times, not only you are not prophesying, not only you are not doing the building up work of the church, but you may even say something and damage people, and say something, it's full of your own opinion. And so that brings in death rather than life. And so I hope that we will see this. But very often, we heard many people stand up, they think they were prophesying, actually they are not. They talk things, nothing has nothing to do with what the Bible says, what the important truth in the Bible said. So you remember in the past few years, in 2 or 3 years, we had some specific, the seven feasts. The topic is, what is the center of the Lord's recovery? What is the most important thing that we have to pay attention to? And so we really need to ask the Lord's mercy that we can all get into God's heart's desire, what God's eternal purpose is, or what is God's economy is. He wants to gain a corporate man as his corporate expression, and a corporate man to be his corporate representation to deal with his enemy. So we should all know these things, and we don't want to express ourselves. We want to give ourselves to the Lord. We want to have the real prophesying. It's not just any kind of speaking. And so that's why all three of us, Brother James and Brother Ed and myself, we all have strong feeling that we cannot allow this kind of loose talk situation to continue. This is very serious, because we cannot allow the church here become the church of Laodicea. Therefore, we feel we really have the it's necessary. We need to use the Holy Word of Morning Revival, because this Holy Word of Morning Revival, that they this book help us to know the truth. And to, if we speak in this sphere, then we will give, or we could give, the real prophesying. So that's why we encourage all of you, study the Holy Word of Morning Revival, because everything in that book not only will supply life to us, and also it can keep us in the sphere of life and light, and instead of opinions. So I hope that this is very clear to you. And then so in this Holy Word of Morning Revival, and every day give us some verses. Give us some verses so we can pre-read. Right. Why we give you some verses? That is many times that we want to have morning watch, and then we want to pre-read. I can just tell you some of my own experience. Before I was married, I stayed with Brother Gruler Sr., and he's an elderly brother, and loved the Lord very much. And every day, he wanted to have morning watch with me. But that time, I was still working, and I have to go to work every morning, so I only had 15 minutes. And then, so very often he said, what verse should I pray this morning? Then I sometimes I said, oh, maybe this verse is good. And then he said, oh, maybe that verse is even better. And then before we decided what the verse we will pray read, and already 10 minutes is gone. And so we only have 5 minutes. Sometimes we only have 3 minutes to pray read. So therefore, in the Holy Word, the morning revival, and they gave us the verses. And so we don't have to consider, and so we can pray read these verses right away. Now, concerning the prayer reading, actually, in the past 2,000 years of Christianity's history, and throughout the years, there are many saints who love the Lord, who follow the Lord, who pursue the Lord. They already have that kind of practice, but no one used prayer reading this term. And so when I was young, I was baptized in the church in Taipei, and afterwards, and also lived the church life in Taipei. And so even way back then, when we were still in high school, those young people, serving ones, already taught us how to have the personal fellowship with the Lord. Now, we encourage you to use this book, Holy Word of Morning Revival. We hope that all the brothers and sisters, and we all have a personal and intimate relationship with the Lord. Now, we really hope that all of us, and then we can all grow, then the church can be built up, and especially with the young people. And today's young people all face a terrible situation, and so there's a big spiritual warfare going on. This universal warfare is between Satan and God, and it's not to occupy some territory, is over men. God created us and want us to be his expression and to be his representation. And Satan also want to gain us in order to destroy us so we cannot fulfill God's eternal purpose. And so we have this war going on. And so especially in 1980, in 1994, so before 1994, in the summer time, 1984, we did not have good program. No university offer any good programs, so we have to find some positive things to occupy the young people's time. We cannot just say, don't go to movie, or don't go to watching TV. We have to occupy their time. And therefore, in 1984, Brother Lee encouraged all the churches to practice Summer School of the Truth. And he every year, we teach the high schoolers and also the college students at least to learn all these basic truths. So that was 1984. And before this time, no good university offered any good something. But then, right 2 years later, that is 1986, Stanford was the first university offer the Bible class. And in the beginning, I was so happy. I saw these top university finally appreciate the Bible. I could not be more wrong. Their class about the Bible is not to enjoy the Bible, to study the Bible, rather is to undermine the Bible. And soon after that, almost all the top universities, they have similar courses. They don't call it Bible all the time. They call ancient civilization or ancient communication, but all the content is to undermine the Christian life, to undermine the Bible. And so this is going on. Here, even New York, the top universities like Columbia and NYU, they all practice this. And so in the beginning, they offer many good programs. And not only they have these good programs, and they make a program very interesting, and also from time to time also help them in their homework, and they also give out this kind of letters. If you join our program, we would think you might be the right student for our school. Then that, of course, attract many people. Even today, I said this to a number of saints, but today, in front of all these people here, I want to tell you that just like Columbia, we have our saints. They study in Columbia, and then once to us, all the universities have our young people there. We will have the campus meeting there, and one sister told me that in the first class of that term, the professor asked the class, "How many of you are Christians? Stand up." About half of the class stood up. Then the professor said, "At the end of this term, I will ask you the same question. I bet none of you will stand up." So you could see that some of these liberal professors, they have their mission. Their mission is to undermine our Christian faith. And so then we thank the Lord. At the end of the term, the professor really asked the question again. But still, almost half of the class stood up. Only two Christians did not stood up. And this professor was surprised. How come? How come that the most of the Christians still stand up? They did not know we have some school of the truth. And without some school of the truth, most likely these ones will go to the world and even become atheists. So this is what happened. Now, then I give you another example. Once, because we have summer school of the truth, therefore these college students, they could have their own meeting. We don't have to join them all the time. And one day, one of the brother was bombarded by his professor, all these different questions. And you know, they have many questions try to undermine your belief, your faith. And so that brother was really got bombarded by all these questions. So when he went to the campus meeting, and he unloaded what he heard to the other brothers and sisters in that meeting. And after he had unloaded, nobody said anything. Did not know what to say. But then later, after a few minutes silence, one sister said one thing to this brother. He said, "Have you ever touched the Lord?" Oh, that's a very good question. and so that really, we need to see that we really, not only with the young ones And also everyone, we all need to have the personal and the intimate relationship with the Lord. For instance, let me see. Brother Dell is here. And if I talk to him every day, and even we serve every day. Now, if someone tell me, oh, you know, in New York, there's no such thing, no such person, Brother Dell. No, I went to New York many times. I have never seen Brother Dell, so he does not exist. Now, if I only see him once a year, I probably would think, oh, maybe what I see is not Brother Dell. But if I see him, if I have intimate relationship with him, if I see him every day, or we serve together every day, and if you tell me, oh, Brother Dell does not exist, and he is in your imagination, then I would never listen to that, right? Therefore, we feel not only the our young people, even every sense, we all need to have this intimate and close personal relationship with the Lord. If we want to have this kind of relationship with the Lord, then we have to have the personal, intimate fellowship with the Lord. Now then, if we want to have the intimate fellowship with the Lord, we need to learn how to pray read the verses. Okay, and so my burden is today we encourage all of you study the Holy Word of Morning Revival. And the first thing you will see is every morning you have two or three verses, like what we read this morning, and it's three verses. And all these verses is for us to pray read. And then, I said earlier, throughout the past 2,000 years, even though this word pray read was not used, but many people who love the Lord, who pursue the Lord, and they already have that kind of experience. So when I was in Taipei, then they also tried to give us this kind of experience, that is to have intimate fellowship with the Lord. Especially during summertime, they asked us to go to the meeting hall early in the morning. Sometimes we have to pray there for the whole day. Because these saints like Madame Guillaume and also Father Finley and also Brother Lawrence and also a number of others, they have some books like The Secret of Fellowship or The Secret of Worship. And so we did have some kind of experience. But we did not have this phrase to pray read. The pray read is first started in 1966. And it's not by Brother Lee or by Brother Ni. It is because that time during 1965 and 1966, there was a spiritual storm in Taiwan. A number of young co-workers rebelled against Brother Lee, and then brought in many confusions and so forth. And so then the churches there was in a very depressed situation, especially in Tainan. Tainan, you know, is the southernmost part of Taiwan, one of the three big cities. And in this church in Tainan, even before the storm, they already had some problem. And so we always have this, you know, Tainan means it is in the southern part of Taiwan. But it sounds like the Tainan, it sounds like too difficult. No. Tainan, Tainan. So they all understand. So even before the storm, the Tainan situation is already too difficult. And so once the storm started, in the church meeting, no one had the heart to say anything, and no one had the heart to listen to anything. Not only in the church meeting was in that kind of condition. Even in the elders' meeting, and they also had no one had the heart to say anything. No one had the heart to listen to anything, just sitting there. Until one day, one of the brothers just read a few verses from the Bible. When he read the Bible, then all these elder brothers, then they use the verses in the Bible in their prayer. So they use these the Bible words and in their prayer. Once they pray this way, even though the our condition did not change, but their spirit get uplifted. Oh, so they no longer depressed anymore. And so they feel, oh, this is very good. So they brought this to the whole church. So as the church, all the saints, just read some verses, and then use the Bible verses and to pray. And then this the church in Taiwan become very uplifted and very revived. And so this is how it started. Then the churches in United States, they heard this. At that time, United States, there was no storm, no problem, everything's peaceful, but a very good character of Americans, and especially American young people, they are willing to receive the new things. So when they heard in Taiwan, they practiced the praying using the Bible words. And so they also want to practice this too. So then many churches in the United States started to have this kind of prayer reading. In other words, they used the Bible verses to pray. But so I know we have many American young people here. I hope I will not offend you. I'm talking about what 44 years ago, what happened. At that time, many American young people are not too mature, not like today. Maybe you're more mature than those young people. But then what happened was, some of the young people at that time, they thought what word they can use so that people will have a loud amen. Oh, then they will be very happy. And or they will also, someone think, what sentence should they say, and then people will laugh, or they will be very happy. And so then originally to practice prayer reading is to use, to get you out of your mind, get into the spirit. Right. But once they try to think of what word I should say so people can say amen, then they came out of their mind, and they came out of their spirit, and they get into their mind. So then, until 1970, Brother Lee saw the situation. He said he could not allow this to continue. Therefore, he just told everybody, if you want to pray read, don't use your own word. You just use the word of the Bible. And and Brother Lee called this direct prayer, direct reading. So direct reading or direct praying. And this is what he called. And so that is in 1970. From 1970 until today, even today, well, our prayer reading, the prayer reading we practice today, it is still the direct prayer, direct reading. Okay. So this is what I want to tell you some of the background. And then, so after in 1985, and even though in the whole world, the Lost Recovery went through a very peaceful situation, no problem. And even so, everybody was happy because no problem, no storm. But then, but Brother Lee was not happy. He felt the churches are very is dormant, and therefore he first said he had need to have a new way. And then eventually he discovered all the so-called new way. It's all in the Bible. It's nothing new. Therefore, he called that God's ordained way. So God's ordained way is what? It's mainly four things. One is everybody should preach the gospel and to get people saved, to get them be born again. Then the second is to nourish them, and so that they will become the remaining fruit. And the third thing is you also need to teach them. In other words, not only you give you every day, just like the portion we have and we will have, even this week we have this. So we need to enjoy the Lord's word ourselves. Then we go out to preach the gospel, and also we nourish the newly saved ones. And then later, the third thing is just to give them something to nourish them. It's good, but it's better to teach them. In other words, it's good to give them a fish every day, but it's better you teach them how to catch the fish. And so then you can be released, you can nourish other people, and then they can learn how to preach the gospel and how to catch the fish. And so then the fourth thing is then we need to have the real prophesying in the church meetings. Now this is what Brother Lee had, and so then he went to Taiwan, and so he used Taiwan as the test ground and for the God's ordained way. And that time I was still working. I still have my job, but then but still in Taiwan they have the need, because many brothers and sisters from United States went to Taiwan, so they needed the translators. So from time to time I still have to go to Taiwan, help their translation. And so then right before Brother Lee came back, then that was my last time went to Taiwan. Before I came back, I went to see Brother Lee. I said, based on my observation, that most local churches did not carry out God's ordained way in a correct way or in a successful way. Only the churches in Taiwan, they really carry this out in a very good way and also very successful. I said, why? Then Brother Lee's answer to me was, he spent 38 months there teach them how to have the personal prayer reading of the word. And so, and then by that time, he changed the morning watch to morning revival. Now, why he make the change? And to say morning watch is correct, because today we are in the dark age, and the Lord will come back. When he comes back, then we are no longer in the darkness. And so that's why Brother Watchman Nee, he, of course, he was a Chinese. He used originally he had a Chinese name, but then he picked up an English name. Then the English name he picked up was Watchman. That's why he called Watchman. And why? That is because he wanted to be the first ones to see the morning star. In other words, we need to be watchful and we need to wait for the Lord to come back. And so every morning he want to have this morning watch, and so he can hopefully he can quickly see the morning star appear to him. And then why Brother Lee changed to morning revival? Because here he went to Webster Dictionary. He discovered that this word revival, of course, has a number of meanings, but one of the meanings is come back to life. Then he saw, oh, this is really good. So in other words, every morning, we have morning watch means every morning we'll come back to life. The first thing we should do. So therefore, he encouraged all the saints to have a Bible by your pillow. And so once you wake up, the first thing is pray 10 minutes, two verses. And then I said 10 minutes is too short, because when we would try to learn this, sometimes we have to spend a whole hour. He said, no. He said, don't make it too long. You will scare people away. So he said, first 10 minutes, then 15 minutes, then 20 minutes, gradually make it longer. And so this is the according to what he said to me that time, he said this is his secret, why the Taiwan churches really had a lot of success is because they know how to pray. So when I came back to here, and that time we have more than 100 young people, right? So we use this room. And so I know it's not easy to move or to bring the older ones to the practice, then so easier to get the young ones. And so I tell them, I say, I know if I ask you to pray read two verses tomorrow morning, you will all say amen, amen, but tomorrow you will not do it. So let's all do it here. So we have a big meeting hall here. It's right in this room. And I told them, I gave them each person two verses, asked them to pray 10 minutes. But only 2 minutes, all of them stood up. And I said, why? I asked you to pray 10 minutes. They said, we finished two verses. Then I realized that they only know the kind of direct pray, direct reading. They did not know how to have the personal prayer reading. And this is my heavy burden. Now, most of you have this Holy Word of Morning Revival, and I believe you will read this, but I'm afraid you don't know how to pray read the first two or three verses. Because maybe today your practice is still direct pray, direct reading. And then it is not just using the Bible. You need to read the Bible. Yeah, you at the beginning you can practice the direct pray, direct reading, and use these verses, and then you can uplift your spirit. But then you read, don't read it too quickly, but then read it slowly. You need to use your spirit, try to use your spirit to touch the spirit and to touch the word. And whatever the word said, whether you call it anointing, or small voice or whatever you use, then you pay attention to inner inspiration. And so then you just follow the anointing. And so based on whatever the feeling in you, in the deep most part of your burden, then you pray according to that inspiration. Now, if you feel it's dry, no flow, then you can change to another words or half of the verse, and then again you try to sense what is the inspiration. Now, if you feel that follow the inspiration and you use that feeling to pray to the Lord, and if you, the more you pray and the more you sense the life is flowing in it, then you continue to pray, read. And so this is we have to learn. We have to practice this way. At the same time, in year 2002, many churches, they said, this one said he used Brother Lee's God's ordained way. And the other brother also said he was using God's ordained way. So before they went out to preach the gospel, and they had fight between each other. So then after 2002's summer training, the co-workers call a 2 weeks training specifically on this God's ordained way. And so only us, the co-workers, give the messages. We did not let other people. And then we also try to dive into the Brother Lee's Lee's work. And we realized actually Brother Lee had 283 books on God's ordained way. And so he's very broad and very balanced. And so then some of the co-workers spent a lot of time. We condensed all these 283 books, and all the because he did exam, so some of the early days, what he said, he realized it could not work, and therefore the new ones override the older ones. So then, in these 2 weeks, we spent a big, a longer time to help people to pray read, have the personal prayer reading. Of course, by that time, Brother Lee went to be with the Lord, but still, we have his excerpt. When he was alive, he also teach us, some of us, how to have personal prayer reading. Now, I love some of the verses, especially one verse I love the most is Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, right? I ask many of you to memorize this verse. And so, I also pray read this verse. But before I get into this personal time, I will direct you to 1 John chapter 1. We know 1 John chapter 1 is a chapter concerning the fellowship. And it's very detailed, especially a few verses very important. One is chapter 1, verse 5. That verse tells us God is light. God is light. Not only God has light, God is light. Therefore, when we want to touch God, we want to touch God himself. And when we touch God, we touch light. And if we don't touch God, we are still in darkness. And so in verse, the precious part in verse 5 is, God is light. Just like God is also love. And not only he has these attributes, but he himself is the light. Then in verse 7 it says, if we walk in the light as he, that he is capital letter he, that means God, and as he is in the light, we have fellowship one another. And then right after that it says, and the blood of Jesus, his son, will cleanse us from all iniquities. And so this is the verse 7. And then it is very clear. If we walk in the light, that means we walk in God. We touch God. When we touch God, and since God is light, therefore we will have fellowship with God. And then by this shining, by this God who is the light, then that the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from all iniquities. Now, for us to have fellowship with God, is good or bad? Of course it's good. Then why, right away, it says we need the blood of Jesus. We need the blood of Jesus. It's not the fellowship. This nothing is needs the blood. That is because when we contact the Lord, who is the light, we will be receive the light. In others, how do we know whether we are in light or whether we are in darkness? Now, when we are in darkness, you only see other people's wrongdoing. You don't see your own problem. Many times when people come to me, like, oh, you know, in my small group meeting, I'm the only one that really can supply life. And all the other, they cannot. But don't laugh. Let people talk to me this way. And then I would tell him, maybe it's not you are the only one, but maybe you are in darkness. Really, that's it. And then how do we know we're in light? If we're in light, we will see our own weaknesses, our own specific sins. And it is by this shining. And therefore, after verse 7, you have verse 9. If we confess our sins, really, we need to confess our sins specifically, and especially in the personal fellowship with the Lord. And so it said, if we confess our sins, that he is he is righteous, and he's faithful, and he's righteous, and so to forgive our sins and cleanse all our iniquities. And so this confessing sin is not the general sin. And this kind of confessing our sins, only when we are in the personal fellowship with the Lord, you can do this. In the meeting, you should not do this. If I said, I don't like Brother Gail, and so if the Lord shone his light upon on me, and your attitude towards Brother Gail is not good, and so then if here I pray, oh Lord, forgive me, forgive my bad attitude. Oh Lord, forgive me to dislike Brother Gail. No, you should never do this in the public meetings, and especially in the public meetings, you should never mention any man's name. And then it is specific. But when you are talking to God, you can tell the Lord anything you want to say. Don't think, if Brother Dell is not here, and I think, oh, now I'm safe. I can tell you, oh, I really don't like Brother Dell. Don't think if he is here, he won't know. I can guarantee that tomorrow or the day after tomorrow, everybody knows. And then the word will go to West Coast. Oh, you know, Benjamin did not like Brother Dell. And then that from West Coast will come back to the East Coast. And just within 2 days, he will know. So we can never mention this. But we can do this when we are in the personal fellowship with the Lord. And so very often, not only we enjoy the Lord, and also we can receive the Lord's shining, the Lord's light. Otherwise, we can never grow in life. And so I just share this. So afterwards, we really try to teach our young people. But that group of young people, I think they know this. But then I thought after we taught them to have this, for instance, I pray, and God said, Lord, I praise you. Oh, you are God. You are the speaking God. But then sometimes I will have the feeling, then why you are speaking God? Why you only speak to other people? You don't speak to me. You just be open, Lord. Yeah. Then in the beginning, probably you will not sense the Lord answer your question. But you keep talking. You keep process. You keep talking to the Lord. Lord, why you don't speak to me? Then eventually the Lord will answer our talk. And the Lord then tell me, it's not I don't want to speak to you. You did not give me the opportunity. You know, in the morning, you only give me 10 minutes, and so you just quickly pray, and then in the name of the Lord, amen, goodbye. No, so you don't give me the opportunity. It's not that I don't want to speak to you. And then, I thought he talked to me this way. Then I tried to go to bed early and then get up early. Some other times, then the Lord would remind me, it's not I did not speak to you. I did speak to you, but you don't listen. Or you don't do what I tell you. So then this way you will have an intimate and personal relationship with the Lord. And Brother Lee also used in his so we also quoted many of Brother Lee's example. He used Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 just to show we can use any verse to pray. And he said, "And in the beginning, God." Okay. Oh, in the beginning, God, Lord, I thank you. Oh, you are in the beginning. And then the Lord may shine his light upon us. At the time when we pray, oh Lord, you are God, and you are in the beginning, and in the beginning, God. And then the Lord will give us a feeling. And then how about we do many things? Is God in the beginning, or he forgive me if he used an example, like maybe one young sister, and she was praying, and she had the boyfriend, and then when she was praying, reading, and he said, oh God is in the beginning. But the Lord can ask you, no, when you your relationship with that boyfriend, am I in the beginning or you in the beginning? Then the Lord can can speak this way. And so, therefore, in order for us to really want to go on and to really to grow into maturity, and then we have to have all this kind of prayer reading and all have this kind of fellowshipping with the Lord. Now, okay, finally, tell you one thing. After we taught our young people this kind of personal prayer reading, I thought they will enjoy the Lord as rich, as sweet, like we enjoying. But eventually we discovered, no, many young ones, they tried to practice this way, but they still did not have the kind of enjoyment like we have. Then I realized that it's because most of the older ones, we have read more spiritual books and life studies, and so God could use many words from these books and to speak to us. And the young ones, they did not read many spiritual books or life study, and so then therefore the Lord could not use some of these words in these books and to speak to us and to remind us. So in Psalm chapter 36 verse 9 it says, in thy light we shall see light. Therefore, in order for us to have a rich personal fellowship with the Lord, then we also need to read more spiritual books and also life study, and hopefully then we know the Lord will use many of these words in these books. Then we will enjoy the Lord and we will hear the Lord speaking more. So I just have this burden to share with you.
I would encourage all of us to seek the Lord so we could have such a rich, precious experience, not only of the Lord's life, but especially of the Lord's light. We have a very special announcement. The church will continue on the T-books. However, we encourage the saints, especially in the home meetings, to follow the Genesis training. So we would like to announce that the Holy Word for Morning Revival for the recent Genesis training has arrived in the book room. These are available in English, Chinese, Spanish, and Korean. Some small group meetings are interested in using this book to review the training right now. If you or your small group would like to pick up copies, please go to the book room after the meeting. The cost is $2. So this way we can all enjoy morning revival. And now it's time to pray, and then it's time for us to share. And those going to the language meetings will do so. Let's pray.